Last week we were talking about the blood. We started, and this is the third in a series. And it's a very important subject for the Christians. And many people do not know what the blood of Jesus Christ can do for you. And some people even think why they should be blood. And some people do not like the blood word. Some people do not like to talk about blood. But I am saying the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful. And we learn why blood. Go to the book of Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul.
See, this was the plan of God, and this is in book of Leviticus. And the God says, I have given the blood for the atonement. So without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. But we learned last week, God is not pleased with the blood of bulls and goats. And so Jesus Christ came into this world and he established a new covenant. And we learn in Matthew chapter 26, starting from verse 26 to 28.
And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin.
For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, or the forgiveness of your sins. So this was not only shed for his disciples, but for many, that means you and me. Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for you and for me. For what? To forgive our sins. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness for sins. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission.
See, again he's saying, and almost all things are by the law purged with the blood. And we learned last week, Moses took the blood, sprinkle on the people, sprinkle on the books, and sprinkle on the altars. And he said, this is the blood of the covenant. But St. Paul is saying, everything, even the law, was saying you should be purged in the blood of bulls and goats. And he said, without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. That's why Jesus Christ took the cup and said, this is my blood, as a new covenant or new testament. And what that blood is doing, not only forgiving your sins, he is forgetting your sins, and he is saying you are not any more sinners because your sins are forgiven, washed, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he has redeemed us from the sinful activities, and he has separated us for himself. Let's read the Revelation chapter 5 verse 9. These are the angels singing, but the angel cannot say you have redeemed us. Actually, they should be saying, you have redeemed them. Them who? Believers. Please read.
And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
Now, see, they are singing. Who are singing? The angels in heaven singing. They are not the believers singing. They should be saying, the angels are singing. And what they're singing? thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us. Redeemed who? Mankind, because he said tongues and nations and people. And so we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The angels were never redeemed by the blood. The angels did not get a chance to be perfected by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the special people redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 14.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin.
See, in whom? Whom? In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. So the redemption, the forgiveness is only we can get by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you remember last week we learned, if there is another man in another religion and they start to claim that that man shed blood for us, there are stories written like Jesus Christ was crucified, so there some of the other leaders suffered for mankind. So people are thinking why their blood cannot redeem us, why their blood cannot forgive us. And we learn each and every person who lived in this earth, they born into this world, they have sinful nature, they lived in sin and they died in sin. And so their blood cannot purify us. Their blood has no power to redeem us. Only the pure blood of Jesus Christ, innocent blood of Jesus Christ, has the power to forgive our sins. Because those people's blood, I'm talking about from Genesis until today, if any person dies without God, without Christ, their blood will ask revenge. And I told you from the book of Revelation that all the people, righteous people, died in the Old Testament. They are asking revenge for their bloodshed. But the blood of Jesus Christ only says, Father, forgive them. So there is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. Read in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
Of God's mercy and God's kindness saved us and washed us with his precious blood. The word of God says mankind was enemy to God. When we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. The word of God says he came seeking the lost sinners, and Jesus Christ died for the mankind. So there is a redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. We did not do anything to get saved. We just have to say, Lord Jesus, I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to wash me with your precious blood. Just humbly when you come to God and say, Lord, I'm not worthy to come to you. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, God has made us worthy. We are not belong to us anymore if you are a believer. And once you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, what happens? We belong to Jesus Christ. And when the Adam and Eve sold out to the devil, how? Listening to him, obeying him, and going against the plan of God. And that's what they belong to. Devil. The word of God says in St. John chapter 8, the devil is a killer, murderer, liar, and he does from the beginning, and he is the father of all lies. So what happened? He lied to mankind, he deceived mankind, and the mankind became enemy to God. So Jesus Christ came seeking mankind. Last week we learned, when Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples, they were 70 and they were 12. All of them in a group. He was talking to them. Real bread is my body, and a real drink is my blood. And he says, if you don't drink my blood and if you don't eat my flesh, you will not have eternal life. And so we learn that many disciples walked away, and that the word says they never walked with him again. That means they were backslidden forever. When Jesus Christ was giving this Lord's Supper or Passover feast, only 12 disciples were there, and one of them betrayed him. What I'm trying to say, Jesus Christ gave his precious blood and he purchased us with his own blood. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28.
Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Now this is, he's talking to the ministers and believers. He says, take heed, means be careful, because God has purchased you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Means Jesus Christ shed his blood and he purchased us with his own blood. What does it mean? We will belong to the devil. So Jesus Christ has to redeem us, purchase us back to God. And that's why he gave his own blood and redeemed us from the enemy's hand. Now we are not belong to enemy. We are belong to Jesus Christ. Once you are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a hedge of protection all over you. We learned last week, if you remember, that there was a blood sign on the top and the both sides of the doorpost. So can you see the blood of goat or the blood of lamb was put on the doorpost, and the devil had no power to destroy, or the death angel had no power to destroy mankind. How much more if you applied the blood of Jesus Christ on you? Now somebody says, how can I apply the blood of Jesus Christ? You apply the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. You have to believe that I am belong to Jesus Christ and I'm not my own. I am purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you believe that you are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and then something happens, you are going to live for him. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and read verse 19 and 20.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Now what is saying? You are bought with a price. What is the price? The blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That means Jesus Christ purchased you. And do you know the word of God says the enemy is the accuser of the brethren? What does it mean? The devil always tells God, this person is not good, he did some mistake, that person did some mistake. But if that person confesses his mistakes or sins and plead the blood of Jesus Christ, then you are cleansed by the blood. Then the Jesus Christ is our advocate or our lawyer. He stands and he fights with enemy. He says no. He plead the blood of Jesus Christ and he believes the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So this is man or woman washed with my blood. It belongs to me. And that's why Jesus Christ is advocate for us. He's a lawyer for us. He is not allowing devil to defeat you. Because the devil always trying to harass you, bring you problems, troubles, trials, and all these things devil brings. What is his reason? He doesn't want you to see God's power, God's might. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and start reading from verse 4. It says, God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of unbelievers. And so if you unbelief, then what happens? The blindness comes in your spirit. Go ahead.
in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
So what is the purpose? They should not understand who Jesus is. The people should not know who Jesus is. Why people are afraid of cross? Why people are afraid of Bible? In every country, they can have all kinds of storybooks, all kinds of scary stories or imaginary stories and all kinds of books. Why the books of the Bible are not allowed to read in every country? This is the reason. Because the God of this world, who is his devil, is blinding the minds and their eyes, spiritual eyes, so they should not know more about Jesus. If they know more about Jesus, then they will plead the blood of Jesus Christ and they will come to Jesus. Go to the book of Romans chapter 3. You should be reading the whole chapter, but we don't have time. Verse 25.
Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God.
So what he's trying to say, we should be dying for our sins. But behalf of us, Jesus Christ died. That is the meaning of propitiation. So we're supposed to die. Jesus died for us. And now when God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says he's righteous. He's not a sinner. And all your sins, whatever you have done, they are all past. God is not going to remember any sin anymore from your childhood until today. Once you say, Jesus, please forgive all my sins, your sins from your childhood, young age, until today, all the sins are forgiven and forgotten, and there is no record. Those sins are wiped out, purged, washed, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Peter says, you cannot wash your sins with anything else, because some people are giving silver and gold and money to their charities, or they give money, they give blood, sacrifice blood, and all kinds of things they are doing according to their religion to get saved. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 1. Start reading from verse 2.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied.
See, here only you can see the sanctification of the soul or the spirit is happened through the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of bulls and goats, they were sanctified, but outwardly, not inwardly. Even the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, it says, the blood of bulls and goats sanctifies you outwardly, but the blood of Jesus Christ sanctified your spirit and your conscience to serve the living God. So, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ has power, and this is also the word of God says, through grace. Start reading from verse 18.
For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, this was ordained by God. This was not the accident that Jesus Christ died and then somebody made it up the story. Oh, you can be saved by the blood. This was ordained by God. The word of God says Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. Even though man was not created. But the God knew what he was going to do to redeem mankind. So Jesus Christ died for you and for me. This was foreordained by God before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ should be dying for us. So the word of God says we are not redeemed or purchased by the silver and gold or the man's tradition. We are washed, we are redeemed, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. Read the 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The word of God says here, but if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. The word of God says we are here to have a fellowship with one another. Somebody says, I'm not going to go to church. This is the trick of the devil. We have to put everything under the blood and say, let's go to church and listen to the word of God. So the word of God says, when you go to church, have fellowship with one another, and then the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse you from all your sins or all your unrighteousness. What we need, the blood of Jesus Christ. When you come to church, before you can talk to somebody, talk with Jesus Christ and say, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me in the house of God. And I want to learn something. I want to study something. I want to write it down the scripture. I'm going to go home and study them more and listen to the word of God over and over and over. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 9. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. What do you mean justified? Do you know?
Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
We are justified by his blood. You know what justified means? Now if there was a judge and he said you are guilty, and then the lawyer comes and pleads your case and says he is not guilty, and he gives you the reason why he's not guilty. Once you are not guilty, then you are just. You are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, if you are not justified, the wrath of God is upon mankind. Because the word of God says, our God is an angry God. Somebody says, I never heard about that. Our God is love. Yes, our God is a love, and our God is consuming fire. God is just God. He said to the Adam, the day you will eat this fruit, you will surely die. He did not say you might die or I might put you in a hell. No, he says surely you will die. So that when God says the man commits sin, that man has to die. And when Jesus Christ came and took the man's sins, and then he died for you and for me, so God says now you are just, you are justified, you are sanctified, you are not sinner anymore. And how it happened? By the blood of Jesus Christ. And now he says, I'm not angry on you. I'm not going to put in hell anymore, because the blood of Jesus Christ washed your sins and my sins, and now we are justified by the blood. And now what happens when God is a holy God? God hates sin. So God doesn't hate you, but he hates sin. So what he's trying to say, take the sin and put it away. When the sin is out of our heart or our mind, then God sees us justified by the blood. And then he says, now I'm not going to put you in a hell. We are sanctified and we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you don't listen to the word of God, then the wrath of God is upon every mankind. That's why the people are going to go to hell. We are here to tell these people, you know, God loves you. And God wants you to come closer to you. God is not saying, go away from me. Jesus Christ came searching mankind. Why? Because we were lost. We are lost from God. We are going away. Do you know what is his name? Cain. When he killed his brother, what happened to him? He was not coming closer to God, but he was running away from God. And he started running away from God. And if you do the history of Cain, he's the only one made all the idols, made all the weapons of destruction, and taught music and dancing to his children's and children's. Dancing came from Cain. All the destructions of the weapons of warfare came from Cain. Why? Because he was afraid of God. And he wants to destroy the children of God. So he was always away from God. The Lazarus died and the rich man died. The Lazarus went to heaven, the rich man went to hell. And the rich man says, Father Abraham, could you tell Lazarus to put his pinky in the water and bring the one drop of water and put it on my tongue? What Abraham said. We cannot go there. There is a gulf between you and us. Even though we want to help you, we can't. But that gulf is put away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You remember in the temple, there was a curtain. And that curtain was at least 4 inches thick. And I heard that if 6 horses this way and 6 horses this way, and they start stretching that curtain, will not be torn apart. That strong that curtain was. But when the Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, what happened? Read Matthew chapter 27, verse 51.
And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent.
This curtain, this veil, was torn from the top to bottom, just like a God is tearing it apart from heaven. And so that was the partition between man and God. But that partition was broken. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Go to the Ephesians chapter 2 and start reading from verse 12 to 14.
That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
See, that time, what time? Before Jesus Christ died, we were all foreigners. We were all not citizens of even the commonwealth of Israel or God. We were completely strangers to God. Because God did not consider us godly people. Because we were sinners. Go ahead.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
See, we were far away from God. God sees everybody. God knows everyone. God's Spirit is everywhere. Well, why we were far away? We were not far away from God. God knows us and God is everywhere. But we could not touch Him. He could not touch us because of our sins. And so we were far off. We can come back here. Read the Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear.
Now, this is what he's saying. Because of man committed sin, God says, I'm not deaf. My hand is not short. Why am I not listening to you? People say, God doesn't hear my prayer. And I'm praying and praying and God is not answering. Are you right with God? Is your sins are forgiven? Is there any hidden sin you're doing? Or is something you're doing wrong and you are not even admitting? Prayer will not answer. Before you come to the Lord and you have to say, Lord, forgive all my sins. All the obstacles should be removed. Then only God hears your prayer. God will not hear sinners' prayer. Only sinners, one prayer he listens, forgive all my sins. That's the prayer he listens. And once that prayer is done, then you ask whatever you want. You cannot ask God, I am committing sin and I'm living in sin, but Lord, I don't want to give up these things, but I want that and I want this. He said, what? I cannot hear you. He said, I cannot hear you, I cannot touch you because your sins have come between you and me. Go back to the Ephesians chapter 2. Read verse 14.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
See, that was a middle wall of partition, the veil between God and us, the wall between God and us, that because of our sin. Once Jesus Christ shed his blood, and once you say yes to the blood of Jesus Christ, yes to the plan of salvation, what happened? The middle wall of partition is broken. And then God's wrath is not there, but God says, now I'm not going to have war with you, but I'm going to have peace with you. Because the blood of Jesus Christ makes peace. Now all these countries are trying to have peace, and every government and everybody thinking that they know how to make peace is not going to come. The word of God says, when they say peace, peace, sudden destruction will come. Because the peace, what the people are talking, they are just like putting the bandages on the top. They don't know the root cause of the problem. But we know the root cause is sin. Once the people start coming to Jesus Christ, then they would know our God is a loving God, and the Christian people will not hate one another once they are believers. You know, the China did not want Christianity in China. Why? Because they had the Buddhist religion before, and the Buddhist religion people, they were against the China's government. So they thought, we'll destroy these monks and Buddhist religion. But then Christianity teaches respect your government.
That's right.
Respect the law and do not do harm to your government, because they are ordained by God. And so when the Christianity comes, your government will be better. They are not going to destroy your government. And so they got the idea. You will see in a few years, the China will give the freedom of religion to Chinese people, because they come to know that Christian people respect. They don't steal, they don't kill, they don't destroy, because they have value for the mankind. So the Christianity brings peace between God and man, between fellow members and believers. And so the Christianity, allow them to their countries, they will be peace sooner. Let's go to the Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
See, once you plead the blood of Jesus Christ and know the plan of salvation, what God has done for you, then he says, Jesus Christ died for you. And when you believe that, what God says now, he wants to make you holy, blameless, and no one can say you are a sinner or you are a guilty. Means, in the sight of God, you are perfect. People say, we cannot be perfect. We are all sinners. Then this word is useless. The word of God says God wants us to be perfect, sinless, and without sin. That only happens through the blood of Jesus Christ. And somebody says, but I committed sin. You committed sin yesterday. Plead the blood of Jesus today. Your slate is cleansed. You are perfect in the sight of God. This is the only one religion will tell you the mankind can be perfected in God, in Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there is no perfection. Jesus Christ makes us perfect in the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, so once you are perfected, once you are saved, once you are blameless, Then what happens? Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19. Chapter 10, 19 we'll read later. Let's read from verse 1 to 10, and then read 19.
For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect.
With the blood of bulls and goat, the mankind was never be perfect. But the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be perfect. Okay, go ahead.
For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin.
So this is the message for every religion. Every religion, they have blood sacrifice. Even the Hindu religion, Muslim religion, Jewish religion, every religion they used to do blood sacrifice. But he says, the blood sacrifice, the bulls and goats, will not make you perfect or will not take your sins away. Go ahead.
Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
What does it mean? Jesus Christ doesn't have to give his sacrifice over and over again. Once the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, that blood has power for eternity, because that blood doesn't vanish away or loses his power. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful that blood has power for eternity to save us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Read the verse 19.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Why the blood of Jesus Christ was shed? Because we were enemy to God. We were far away from God. We were not able to see God. There was a veil between God and man. But now when the blood of Jesus Christ is shed, now he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We don't have to be afraid to come to God. We have holy boldness. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful. When we plead the blood of Jesus Christ, enemy shivers. Enemy has no power to do any harm or any damage to you. Let's read the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 11. You know this verse, but I want to give it to you.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
Who are they? They are the people who are going through all trials and tribulations. Even the time of tribulation, the devil try to harass them. But the word of God says, they, including you and me, can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And what? By the word of their testimony. That means, if you are a born-again child of God, you have to have a witness that I belong to Jesus Christ. Do you know anyone will not be saved until they have to believe in their heart and what? Confess with their mouth. Just read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
See, if you don't make mouth confession, you cannot get saved. Somebody says, I believe my God in my heart. But if the enemy comes, Antichrist comes, he says, do you believe in Jesus? Yes or no? Otherwise, I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to put mark on you. Somebody says, God knows my heart. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to keep quiet. What will happen? They will put a seal on you. 666. So what we have to say, I belong to Jesus. I'm here to give my life for Christ. I'm not afraid. You will go to eternity. So people say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a born again child of God. What do you do? I go to church once in a while, maybe once a year. You are not saved. If you are born again child of God, what you will do? You will testify. You will tell somebody, I was a sinner. Now I'm saved. I was sick. I'm healed. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I'm living for Christ. That's the word of testimony. And pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you plead the blood of Jesus Christ and tell somebody, I'm a born again child of God and I live for Christ, then devil runs away. Devil has no authority over you. Now we don't have to sacrifice the bulls and goats. We have to just plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what kind of sacrifice? The word of God says the blood sacrifice, God is not pleased. Now, what kind of sacrifice we give? If you listen to some other people, they said, give the money. If we bring the money, God will be pleased. That's true. But God doesn't want money first. What God needs? Your heart first. Your life first. Once I am belong to God, then my money is belong to God. But if you start people give money and their heart is not in the Lord, they will run away. You tell them about God, what God has done. Once they are sold out to God, then they will do anything for God. So go to the book of Hebrews and chapter 13. I want to tell you what kind of sacrifice God wants from you. Hebrews 13, and start reading from verse 15 and 16.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
See what he's saying? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What God wants? Sacrifice of praise. That's why when I tell you, praise the Lord before we start the service. Some people say, praise God. Why are you afraid? Open your mouth and say, praise God, I'm alive. Praise God that Jesus Christ did great sacrifice. You should be filling this room with the praises of God, and the neighborhood say, what's happening here? Why people are so joyful? Why they are so excited? We should be praising God without a shame. What St. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Why we come to church and sit like a mouse? When you go out, we do anything. In the church, we don't have any power. We are afraid of anything or somebody. Pastor would say something. Pastor will not say something. Just lift up your hand and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, I'm alive. That's what you have to do. He said, what do you do? Let us offer the sacrifice of praises to God. And how? Continually. Not 1 minute. Continually. In your house, in your car, in your shopping center, wherever you are, talk about Jesus. Continuously. The praise of God should be in your what? Your lips. Lips. The ladies are putting what? Lipstick. What a lipstick they're showing. Blood up and here. Actually, you put the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the door. Do you know? Everything goes from here to your stomach. So this is the door of your body. They had the doorpost by the blood on the doorpost. So if you have the blood of Jesus Christ on your lips, you talk about Jesus, you talk about the blood, no enemy can destroy you. So that's why the continuously, your lips should be thanking God and praising God. Read the verse 16.
But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Such sacrifices, God is pleased. What is such sacrifice? The words of thanksgiving coming from your lips. That's the sacrifice God is pleased. Not the blood sacrifice of bulls and goats. Praise God. When you hear the bad news, praise God. When somebody says something bad, praise God. So continuously praising God and glorifying God, that's the sacrifice, is well-pleasing in the sight of God. Not how much money you give to God, how much you praise God, how much you thank God. Some people get the raise. Oh, I got a $5 more in my pocket. Just thank God that God gave you grace to make that money. God gave you grace and brain, the health. If your health is bad, you cannot go and work. So we should be thankful to God. First of all, thankful to God that what God has done. And this door should be what? Pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. There should be sign of the blood on you. That's what they said. They overcome by what? The blood of Jesus Christ and the word of their testimony coming out of their mouth. We can defeat the enemy. Okay, a couple of verses and then I'm going to finish. St. John chapter 6, verse 54 and 58. John 6, 54 and 58.
Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life.
Okay, has eternal life. So the what? Blood of Jesus Christ gives you eternal life. And verse 58.
And this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
We will live forever. Eternal life, that means living forever. Not only that, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you come closer to God and follow the Lord and listen to Him, what happens? You pass from death unto life. Let's read that verse and I'm going to finish. John chapter 5, verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
See, what a blessing. He says, verily, verily, when you say verily, verily, when what? Truly, truly, I'm saying. Or I'm telling the truth. What is saying? If you hear my word, means what? Hearing means not only hearing, obeying, putting in practice. If you start doing that, and then he says, then you have everlasting life. Not only that, you shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So once you believe Jesus Christ, the wrath of God is gone. We are close to Jesus Christ by the blood and we have peace. We have eternal life. So the Jesus Christ blood is so powerful. It cleanses, sanctifies, makes you righteous, brings you closer to God, gives you peace, gives you eternal life, and keeps you forever. That is the power of the blood. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for your precious blood. Give us grace to plead the blood of Jesus Christ so we can overcome the demonic forces and have victorious life. And not only that, we pass from death unto life and no condemnation, and we live forever with you. That's a great blessing you have given to us. Let us pass it on to somebody and let those people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.